Look, it's gonna rock out a little longer. Danny, when we did Mob Rules, did we have like a standard intro that I did? I can't honestly remember.
No, I think we did a lot of cold opens, John. I think that's kind of the way we did it.
That's the cool thing. Hey, welcome to Grim After Dark. We have a little bit of a...
Presented by Mob Rules.
We have a different look this week. This week, we are... Unfortunately, Dickie and Val are both out. And so seeing as it was just Danny and myself, I was like, you know, let's go old school a little bit. Let's bring back the old Mob Rules charm. Because it's been a while. And I was saying to you while we were waiting to go on here, that I really missed the hype music that we had for Mob Rules. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, dude, we're so back.
That was a thing you did. I'm like 99% sure. Fantastic. This week,
the callback. This is pure retro. Apologies for everyone, because it's going to be like 10 times worse than normal today, and not just because we don't have Dickie with us.
No.
We've got so much incense burning in John's house right now, to try and appease the machine spirits, so that we get the same kind of tech support that we got when Dickie was when he is with us. He is with us.
You might notice today there is no moving TVs. There is a wonderful green glow around the television screens that I'm also in for artistic reasons, and also I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. We got Camilleri's member berries tingling, which, you know,
love it.
Not many people can do that. We're going to do just a regular Grim. We have a ton of stuff. We're going to talk about some of the April Fool's things that I saw, which disappointing year for April Fool's.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's going the way of Black Friday, but that's okay. We got a couple good ones here. And then we're also going to go over, man, just so much stuff. I even forgot. Danny, you're going to fix Dark Angels. It's going to be great. Oh,
perfect.
We're going to talk about an old man that you might know called Stillman.
Mr. Nigel Stillman?
Yeah, as in Mr. Nigel Stillman. Ooh. Where we're going to be going over that too. And I want your take on a couple things. But before we get started on that, look at this nice industrial shuttery, Mob Rules quality right here.
I like the black border, especially. That's my favorite. Oh, yeah,
that's for sure. That just tells you the person who put this together knows how to crop really well, and not just press just one button on a stream deck. But this week's question of the week came from this guy here. Last week's episode was called Tower Find You Babies or something along that lines, which I realized setting this up. I had two Tower Find titles in a row, but that's neither here nor there. This person here says, I know an army that's not fine, Dark Angles or Angels, SAG faces worldwide. So Danny, for the benefit of this wonderful viewer who left this comment, can you fix Dark Angels right now?
Yeah. So if you want to play Dark Angels, just remember that you're playing for fun. Maybe that'll help you. I'm not sure. No, there's some interesting Dark Angels builds, but I think really the problem, with an army that focuses, like on one particular unit type, like Dark Angels kind of like, or traditionally have focused really hard on, like Deathwing Knights and Terminators and stuff like that recently, to have those kind of, not be the best choices or not be meta choices is probably difficult for a lot of people, but, you know, hey, look, suck it up. If it's the army you want to play, play that army. But if it's not the style you want to play literally any other army. You still have a bunch of Marines. You don't have to play them as Dark Angels. And eventually GW will lower the points on the stuff that sucks so that it's more cost effective and it'll be good again.
So just so I get this clear, your solution to fixing Dark Angels is to not play Dark Angels.
Yeah. Right now that is my solution to fix Dark Angels. I don't want to see, the problem is I don't want to tinker. I feel like when people tinker, they throw stuff wildly off balance. There's a ton of their own personal biases involved. And I think it's really a bad policy to try and generally fix stuff yourself or community fix stuff. Although sometimes it's needed. I just don't think it's needed for 40K because GW is pretty responsive to this stuff. So Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'll just see you at the lower tables with your Dark Angels army. Well, I am in a terrible mood because my meta purchased army apparently needs skill to play. Who would have known?
Because you're, well, your meta army loses to Dark Angels. Is that what you were going to finish?
It will. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the Occam's Razor of 40K. If you can buy the best possible army in the world and have it pro painted to any level, you mm-hmm. will lose 100% of the games against someone who plays more than you, regardless of like skill level.
That's the trick. That's the trick to being good, guys. Like, just if you can play three times a week against opponents who are either better than you or the same level as you, like, and they're also improving or want to improve, that's the way that you get better at this game. Like, you'll solve more problems, you'll find more things that are good. It's just it's the way to be better at wargaming. You got to practice.
Yeah, and that's free advice. We used to charge Danny to tell people that. And that's, I think, a more eloquent way of saying get good, which just goes to show that your law school money has been really well spent.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, let's move on. Let's see if I can do that.
Dude.
Man, that was fast.
200 times speed. Or
200 times speed. Yeah. Well, when I was setting up this deck, because I don't know if you can tell by the amazing production quality we have right now, that John's running the show right now. John set up all these assets. So the first thing I did while we're getting ready was increase the speed to like 200% on the state of play, because I know you guys, you love your fast bumpers.
You know, I think the key here, John, is to increase the speed and then also raise the volume. So that we're getting like extra
that.
Noise, but yeah, I mean, really, people want fast and loud when they're listening to this show specifically. Yes. Yeah.
It's a mob rules. Sarah, like a mob rules standard was terrible audio quality in the earlier episodes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. We, to be fair though, like that complaint was taken.
Yes.
And then exponentially improved by John's equipment purchases. So.
My poor wife, who had to watch me spend literally $1,000 on equipment because some mean person on the internet said it didn't sound very good. Like, well, what about now? Like, well, you know, the content's still bad, but the sound is very crisp.
But unfortunately, we can hear you, and that's actually the part we never liked.
Oh, it absolutely is. Anyway, welcome to State of Play. We're going to take a lighthearted look at what's been going on in the Warhammer community in the last week. And like I said before, minimal amounts of April Fool jokes occurred this year. Danny, you're on another podcast. Why the heck didn't you do anything?
You know, John, it's my fault. I am actually, as the social media manager, I take full responsibility for any shortcomings in this respect.
Are you the social media manager for Old World Tribe?
I am. I am actually the social media manager for
Amazing.
I probably, because I was trying to figure out what I was going to say in some court hearings that I had that particular day. I wasn't really, my mind wasn't really, you know, in the zone as far as comedy goes.
I saw in the Grim Court here, someone posted, I didn't verify before we came on whether it was true or not, that on April 1st, GW put up a thing saying expanding your legacy armies.
That is now, so good.
If that was their April Fool's joke and they went to the, oh shit, no, hilarious. Yes.
Maybe we shouldn't do this because people will actually be mad. I mean, if they would have done it, I would have a lot of respect for their commitment to comedy, right?
Old World players famously level-headed with change and jokes about their game.
Yeah, they've only been pining for a game that's been dead for like 10 years So yeah, exactly. No, they're definitely the people that will get a joke like that and not laugh about it and not be angry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the ones we saw here was this one here. This one was sent to me. This was from Peachy Tips, Peachy's new standalone Patreon painting service or a tutorial place. It says one thick coat. My favorite thing about this one thick coat paint rage is the names. This one is called Juicy Peach. Danny, what are you painting with Juicy Peach?
You know, I would probably use Juicy Peach to paint, like, because right now I'm working on some trolls for Old World. And so I'd probably use this to paint like as a base coat for maybe some of the skin tones. especially, you know, in places that receive a lot of friction or a lot of wear and tear, or places that are traditionally moist.
Fair.
That's where I'm going to use this, John.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Stimulate that juice. How about you, John? What would you use Juicy Peach for?
Have you? Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I feel it would have to be someone's rear.
Yeah.
But you can't be too obvious with it. So it'd probably be just the hip part of a Necron warrior squad. And that's how I would differentiate my two warriors squads, is one squad of 20 would be regular. Mm-hmm. And the other squad of 20 would be Juicy Peach hipped.
Nice.
Kind of, yeah.
Putting some... I was thinking Mangron might benefit from a little application of this to his Juicy Peach.
I remember when I was in the UK last year and like, the guys were trying to sell me Angron, and I was like, oh no, I have him already, you know, da da da. I was like, and it got around that the man was up in Warhammer community because of the base thing. And mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, let's take a look at him. I'm like, well, that's not. That's I like remember that he is he has the skin complexion of an alcoholic. the best way I can put it there.
It's where art meets life, John.
Oh man, that would be terrible, but it's not. The other one that was sent to me here, and then chat as well, saying here that the post itself was an April Fool's Day joke. So some random on Reddit made this on PG's behalf, which fantastic. And then the other
one, sure it's not talking about the fantasy thing.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Oh, yes. I don't know. The fantasy thing, even better. But also, I wouldn't put it past GW to put that up.
Yeah.
In an incredibly poorly timed article. Like just no one remembered that it was that day. The other thing that I saw that was interesting was this guy here. This one was Pinup Commissar, which is an Astra Militare model where they have a commissar, and they've kind of, I don't know if this is one of the raging incels or the ones where they make like the
is that the name of that company?
I'm pretty sure that's the name. If they want to sponsor me, we'll get it right. But they have kind of like this commissar has like six pack abs and like bolt-ons that a 90s porn star would be proud of.
Yeah.
Pin-up commissar. I will say though, Danny, a pretty okay job in the Photoshop if you don't look at the base.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like this would be pretty, like, let's look at this honestly, John.
Okay.
Like, let's take a look at this and deter, like, would you find this figure to be inspiring? If you were on the battlefield,
I feel if I answer that question, the audience won't look at me the same way again.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Possibly, Danny, how inspired does it make you feel looking at that? Would you be like semi or completely?
Honestly, it wouldn't be inspiring to me personally. I would feel like she's probably judging my physique and like noting that I've probably been skipping my exercise rituals and, as a guardsman, I feel like I'd be intimidated. This woman will kill you. Like she will kill you if you turn your back to the enemy. You might not even be running. You might just like,
yeah,
you have to take a piss. You don't want to show the orcs your wiener. Like you turn around and like she's shooting you in the back of the head. So
George Sutherland Howard in chat here, fantastically. He's not referring to this. He just says it's the fantasy thing, but I'm gonna choose to believe that he's talking about this commissar model. That's why it's there.
George, the internet, John's going to subvert your comment. That's what he does to all of the things that I tell him in confidence, and it always bites me in the ass.
Yeah. Years later, he's still podcasting with me for literally no good reason whatsoever. God. We're both far too busy, but that's okay.
It's true.
It's depressingly true. Two more months. One more month. Close, anyway.
Yeah, we're getting there, man.
We're getting there. And then finally, this one was actually shared by our very own Dickie. And what can only be described as Dickie looking like he is the lead singer in a ska band from your local town. Team Canada.
Dude, I feel like he can skank so well.
Oh, yeah, dude. His legs are kicking out.
Right.
Yeah, from all of the skank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it says Coach Dickie available for children. Oh my god, the
children's birthday.
Team Canada spell check is not necessary. Just be good at 40k. But it's Coach Dickie available for children birthday and quinceañera.
Nice.
Yeah.
You'll keep in mind, John, that this person's first language might not be English.
That's fair. That's fair. That just makes me judge him more based on my location. Me too.
So what is he doing? Is he a magician? Is he coaching this children birthday? Or is he like,
he looks haunted. Like, yeah. You know, and it's just, I was going to ask you the same thing. It's like, what does Dickie do at a kid's birthday party? I would imagine that he would have a plan about how to make a balloon animal. And then some ruffian child, possibly in a football soccer jersey, mm-hmm. be like, oh, actually, no, I'm going to need you to make an elephant, not a dog. And then he would just incredibly panic at the last minute change of instructions that weren't necessary and just pop the balloon.
I was thinking it would like just accidentally become a penis.
it's just a regular balloon.
Oh, no. Whoa, wait a minute. I meant the male genitals in their entirety, John. I mean, you can't, I mean, that doesn't represent anything. It could be a hot dog. It could be a condom. It could be a balloon.
You're waiting for the more ingenious members of the community to put an uninflated balloon around it all as some kind of like scrotal balloon part of it.
You would hope. And like there's other accoutrements that I would expect, but like, I'm a discerning purveyor of balloon. I don't know where I'm going with this. let's just say I'm surprised that he can do this when he's got that protective order that doesn't allow him to be within 50 feet of children's birthdays or quinceañeras.
Well, that's why it's just he's available for children's birthday, because when he's found out at that first one, never again. That's why it's such a good deal. Just
never invite him back. He's not like a word of mouth referral kind of a guy. He's just
Scott wiggles down the street away to the sound of jazz trumpet.
Oh, love you, Dickie.
We miss you, Dickie. Oh, fantastic. Next up here, like I said, we're going to talk about something that I found online that really kind of got the old nostalgia flowing. Ooh. And it was this little thing here. There we go. Stillmania.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I had that white dwarf, that specific one, that little blurb was in.
This little blurb in here. Well, let's look a little deeper into it, because there's some very specific ways about how 40K should be played. Or not 40K, fantasy should be played.
Yeah.
But can you apply to that as well? So it starts with Nigel Stillman.
Look at these effects. What is this? 2050?
static pictures with our face behind them. I can also do fancy PowerPoint. But Nigel Stillman is well known for playing in the spirit of the game. This is his personal opinion of the ultimate spirit of wargaming.
These opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Games Workshop.
They do, however, reflect current Dark Angels players, if I remember them correctly. But starting...
Only play with 20 Hellblasters. Never change your list.
So, Danny, we're going to go through these. You're going to help me out with these. His first hint, pick your army to just under 2,000 points.
Don't use up all the points for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe he feels like playing with the handicap is fun for him or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Write down the roster and never amend it again.
Well, now that people have personal computers and things like cell phones where they can provide an army list electronically, I think that this is probably pretty moot. But also, never amend the army list again. Always play the same thing. That might be the most boring sounding thing in the entirety of the world. I would stifle under these Stillmania rules, John.
I tell you what, though, you will become a better player very quickly.
That's true. If you only play the same list forever, you probably will. Unfortunately, your opponents, having played against your list, like the same list, like a million times, will know exactly what they need to do to beat you every single time you play.
After year one, you can be like, stop tailoring your list against me.
John, how funny would it be if I only played the same 40K list at 40K tournaments for a whole year? Like, and I never changed it unless the points didn't let me take the same list.
I think you could get away with doing it for at least a quarter. And I think that would be really funny I think that's a good social experiment we should try in the summer.
I'm kind of interested in this.
Yeah. we should both commit to over summer Stillmania.
The summer we only play with Stillmania rules.
Stillmania summer. I love it. Okay. Next up here, collect. Right down there. Make sure it fits the background. Well, what does this mean?
This means that the army comports to the fluff of the game. So the background, like lore of the game, that's what it's talking about. And make sure that your army kind of like, would this be a typical army that you would see for this faction in 40K or fantasy?
What do you think? So this means that I can't do like a Necron army with the Silent King and Force of 10. Mm-hmm. And like two units of Scarabs. That's probably not a realistic Stillmania army.
Probably not.
It's unfortunate.
I think this means, so like, if you've ever heard of the concept of a White Dwarf army, I think mm-hmm. that they kind of embody this concept. And that's kind of like a smattering of everything with a heavy concentration on your core choices to make your army, you know, kind of seem like it would be in like the fluff. Like, okay, so here's a great example of this. Okay. If you're going to play Space Marines, bring like a demi company of Space Marines. So bring like three tactical squads, an assault squad, and a devastator squad, or whatever the Primaris equivalent of that would be. I mean, you know, you'd be jump back intercessors and or like desolators or something mm-hmm. like that, or hellblasters.
Yeah. Collect and paint the army. Give it three coats of gloss varnish, then never touch it with a paintbrush again. I disagree with this one heavily.
I hate gloss varnish, and like I don't like it on any models. I don't even like it on models that are supposed to have like shiny parts of them, like mm-hmm. like their spit or like their, you know, I don't even really like it on that. So, and I hate it on bases. Can you imagine what static grass with gloss varnish would look like? It would look so
just spraying it down, like just matting it.
It would foam. It would look like it was frosted. It would be horrible. Look
like an Italian gangster's hair just slicked back the whole time. I use gloss varnish. I've used it three times in my hobbying career. One of them was when I converted our local Grey Knight player, Matt. I converted a Grey Knight for him, and he's like one of the best painters I've ever
seen.
Amazing painter. So being told that your secret Santa is this guy is very intimidating. So I went ridiculous and I created a shirtless jump pack Marine who was nice. Just like, yeah, helmet, legs. He had the arms like holding everything. The thunder hammer and the shield were powered by like a fanny pack. And I covered just the front chest muscles in just a lot of gloss varnish, like 6-7 coats. So that was really shiny. The other time was for my Tyranids, black, like claws where the claws were varnished to kind of shine them up a little bit. I didn't like that as much because again, the brush strokes just kind of show through.
Exactly.
And currently, all of my Necron basing actually has a gloss varnish on it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I think that like, I could even make an exception for that. I feel like if you're doing like water effects or wet stuff, like it almost has to be glossy or gloss varnish.
Cause so it's all ice.
And you're ice, right?
Mm-hmm. So I do like the ice blue, then cover it with gloss and then put like snow on top of that. So even then it's mostly covered, but I just can't fuck with that, Danny.
No, I'm not into it. I hate it. I don't want to do it. Next question. Next point.
Next point. Give every character and regiment a name. Now, this would involve me going back on many fun that I've made of people and be myself, the thing I've made fun of.
John, it's just time to eat your shame, dude, and start naming all of your guys. Like, Wallace did this thing where he put, like, a bunch of army fluff into his army list, and it became, like, a meme in the Pacific Northwest for a while for, like, everybody, like, to post like a big story about their army and how badass they were in their army list. And like, I unironically like love, I think that shit's cool. So like, I'm totally fine with that.
There's part of me though, knowing my lower skill level at the game, that like mm-hmm. I make up this high creativity. I make up this badass Space Marine captain or whatever, who has this tremendous backstory that's layered mm-hmm. and nuanced and fantastic. And then to see him go down to a squad of Gretchen shooting at him is just very demoralizing.
Yeah. So do you know what the solution to that is?
Tailor my heroic stories to my skill level.
Yes.
So my space
marine never fights anyone dangerous. He's the most careful space marine captain in the world. He's never once injured.
The shittiest one by this point. He's more bionic than man because he keeps dying and being shot down.
John, he also doesn't say, Stillman doesn't say in this that it can't be a humorous backstory or character. So I'm just saying, like, you could really kind of flex your muscles here, I think, and make something that's awesome.
What would make Reddit meltdown more? Female space marine or me overcommitting to the most ridiculous backstory to a space marine character? And then vehemently defending it whenever anyone commented on it.
It's really important that you make this post in some kind of highly visible way. And make sure it gets a lot of foot traffic. I think this would be really funny to put in kind of one of those low lore groups or something like that. But no, John, of course, Reddit would absolutely lose their mind more for female space marines than this. I mean, come on, dude.
What about my space marine captain who, after being exiled from the League of Votan, went through the Rubicon Primaris and became like a regular size marine, so I can use my old resin captain.
Nice.
And then, yeah, he is protecting an ancestor core, and that's why he's running away from the Tyranids, whose ultimate goal is to eat all of the ancestor cores to gain enough knowledge to go back in time to form the Necrontyr.
I think that that's really great, but you're missing a couple of key factors here that I think would really help sell the enragement of Reddit. You didn't once mention any kind of A, politics, or B, sexual identity. And if you don't include either of those things, you're going to get, you're really leaving a lot of enragement on the table, if you know what I mean.
His boss in the Votan before he was exiled was Truamp.
John.
Dunal Truamp. And then I can just respond to everything with please, no politics.
Yeah. You could model his hands really small too. It'd be like pretty funny.
Use the epic ones.
Yeah, dude. Dorian Bradshaw came in with a comment in the chat here that I really like. It says, only play Lamenters if you are bad at the game.
I have a bunch of space marines to paint up, and I was trying to figure out what scheme. But wait, don't they have like checkered shoulder pads?
John, it's checkered shoulder pads, which in the middle of it is a circle with a heart and a blood drop. So it's not like, it's like all of the things that could possibly be hard to paint in one convenient package, although they probably make shoulder pads now.
Oh god, no, Dorian, different. I will paint space marines a different color scheme, probably purple and gold, but I will not do checkered shoulder pads with a circle in the middle. That sounds awful.
What about just playing Imperial Fists?
You have a ton of those. I don't want to paint yellow, and I have a ton of marines on sprue because I got the entire Imperium collection and a couple other things. And I'm like, I want to try something. And I was like, do Blood Angels. I'm like, how about I just do purple and gold, and then they're whatever I want them to be. What about you? What's your warlord going to be, or your chapter master, or your evil people?
Oh,
they're yellow as well. Yeah, Lamenters can go.
Yeah, they're also absolutely yellow. Yeah.
You would be able to hear my rage in Idaho when I got the black from the shoulder pad on the yellow.
God, I don't know. I don't know what kind of army I want to play. Maybe like for a whole quarter, I got to pick something that.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Still mania, baby.
40K projects, John, that I could work on.
Well, that's.
I know what it's gonna be, dude. It's gonna be my. I'll play Eldar. Right? They're bad now. Probably they're not. I can finally paint up, like, I can paint up a new Farseer, which I've got that I haven't painted up yet. I could make a backstory about him being really emo and like tired of life. He's got hella ennui.
Is your Farseer name Gerard Way?
No, hold on. I got a great name for you. but like there are so many Yeah, so he'll be Jared Leto.
Beautiful.
Doing morb so hard on Johnny, you're gonna not know. He's been stricken with a Xenos infection that sometimes makes him transform into a very helpful vampire-like creature. So yeah, with he's got echolocation, he is going to get a movie sequel. It's just an amazing combination of
you
traits.
Know, you could actually do that in lore if you used Yanari and had the avatar. Like whenever you only use the avatar when the Farseer dies, and then he comes back
as the avatar,
as an avatar of Morb,
just Morb.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Dude, you better watch out. He's gonna Morb all over your face. You're gonna not gonna know what to do.
Oh, this one's gonna be hard for both of us, Danny. Do not even possess extra or alternative units. Just stick with what you've got.
Well, I think that ship has sailed, my friends.
Unless sorry, we're I can't see you past this Robute Gilliman or this gravity generator. It's
the gravity generator?
Or the power station, whatever. It's like
Oh yeah.
Both of
that came in one issue.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a
the best issue, like one of the Imperium issues, like this one here just has the engine sear, and that was $12 or $14. Okay. The best $14 one though was Cesare.
Really?
Yeah, and there was also one with five flayed ones. So
man. I tried to order that one and it was like instantly sold out everywhere. I wanted to get like three of them, but I bought 60 flayed ones anyway, John, because I'm an idiot. Now I can't even use them all.
I only have 30.
Smart man.
Like a champ. Now we have make a carrying case that fits the army exactly.
Okay.
You know what I'm tempted to do with this? Because I think this is a genuine plan we're going to run with over summer because it sounds like a ton of fun. I'm tempted to go to a secondhand store and find two leather briefcases.
Okay.
And we can modify the inside of them to carry an army. So that like, when we roll up to a table, we can just slam our briefcase down, flip the locks up, and lift up the lid.
It's got to be spring-loaded so that the thing opens like automatic, like, you know, like the lid opens automatically.
With a Pulp Fiction-esque light that just shines gold in our face and be like, yeah, that'll do.
John, this is maybe better than the croupiers. I really, really like this idea.
Yeah, okay, perfect. We just need to find two. This is what mob money's for now. Yeah. This is the hard one, and we kind of went over this a little bit. Fight every battle with the same army and never change anything in it. How does that change army construction for you, Danny?
Man, I really hope I make good choices and don't mess up and take the wrong unit one time. And be like, oh, this unit actually sucks. I hope these guys don't suck the whole time. I hope these guys don't suck the whole time I'm playing. Oh, they do. Well, I guess I'm bone then.
You are a backfield objective holder, but I'm a small elite unit, but you're on this objective now.
Be elite. Hold the home base. We need our best troops on this.
Here's an interesting one. Fight in big games with just your 2,000 points and to hell with the odds. I feel you would enjoy that, Danny.
It could be fun. Have you ever played at a disadvantage before?
Oh yeah.
For points?
Yes. I was told it was a narrative game. So we were telling a story. But also it was one of the most unfun games based on the narrative. Oh. Which isn't the person. It was back in the day, and it was me and Ted had orcs, and we had to storm this Imperial line. The Imperial line had every single Imperial fortification on the back line that had all of the guardsmen inside those fortifications, and also all of the rules for the fortifications and all the armor values.
Oh.
And like,
well, that's unfortunate.
Turn one, I'm like, wait, I have nothing that can break an armor value 15 bunker. No, it's fine. We'll keep going. And just, yeah, it was misbalanced. But again, I'm not playing to the spirit of the game with that. sorry, I should have just ran crazily at it. But yeah, that's sort of the thing. But like I said, I feel if you, I think 4,000 points versus 2,000 points could be fun for you.
It could be if you're real cagey. Mm-hmm. I definitely have I played mismatch fantasy games before where I've been down like 1,000 points. Mm-hmm. And usually I feel like I can kill 2,000 points of their army and then the rest of the 1,000 points like kills my stuff.
Yeah.
But like it's really fun to do, and it's really fun especially if there's like a big skill gap between the two people. Mm-hmm. Because the person who's better if they're playing the smaller army, like it feels like more of an even match. It's a good time.
Yeah. Downvoting people in chat saying you should do this while in Blues Brothers costumes, and I would agree, except I don't think we could find a hat for your head.
No, that's true. I tried to order hats one time at Men's Warehouse for a wedding. We were going to get top hats, and they told me that they don't carry a size of hat big enough for my head, but that I could pin a hat on my head if I wanted to that was smaller. And I'm like, so what? I can look like McGill Gorilla
or the Monopoly Man.
What's that?
The Monopoly guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or the Monopoly guy, or like Moxie from Borderlands. Yeah, I would look excellent, like with an ironic little top hat on top of my head.
Hard All right, pass. Let's see. What else
do we got here? Do the Blues Brothers always have hats, though?
What's that?
Do they always have hats?
Yeah, hats, sunglasses, and the suits.
I could cut from God a hat would fit my head, John. But I'd have to... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. We've got never vary or change your army in any way. Resist all temptation.
This is like the third time he said this. Like this really point has been repeated over and over again.
It's really important to him.
Do you know about him at all? Because like he definitely lived by these principles, and he might be making fun of himself here a little bit.
He might be a little bit. He was really big in the rules writing community for early fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know he did the
fifth edition, I think.
He wrote fifth. He did like the dwarfs book was supposed to be really good from him, and a couple of other things. And he just he's really good at game design, I feel, from what I remember anyway. And like these are just probably a little making fun of himself, but at the same time, it's got us talking about a fun challenge. So there's that.
Yeah.
We have here the next one I used to do. Model every magic item on the character who carries it, no matter what it is.
This is sick, dude. If I have the time to do this, and I know kind of like always what relic I'm going to take on a character, mm-hmm. Or magic item, like I do like to do this if I can, but I find myself switching stuff because now like relics are detachment based now. So like there's mm-hmm. a really good chance I'm going to switch around relics, which just means, I guess I need characters that have all of these relics.
Or like I said, just don't change the list ever.
That's, you know, John, that's a great point. I don't know why I didn't think of that. It literally says that in the rules. I'm
times. This is the third. Like it next says here, what you see in the army is what you get. Take that literally. So no, even though you couldn't tell the difference between two Tyranid monsters, and I just believe you because who knows the difference between a harpy and a crone, you absolutely have. Oh, I do. Yeah. But the majority of people, there's been times I'm like, this is a crone. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, do you know the difference? Like, no, it's just okay. It has the underneath things.
It has a drool cannon, John.
It does. That's why I wanted to run it as a crone, because it had a thing called a drool cannon. Always give your opponent the benefit of the doubt, which I think do a pretty good job of now.
Man, I am not, this is not me. Ain't me, dude. Like I just, like there are so many people that don't know the rules, and like you sometimes have to ask a lot of questions to make sure that they do.
I feel you could lawyer your way around this one really easily. Because you can give the benefit of the doubt while still hugely questioning everything about what they're doing. You'd be like, well, I believe you, but, and then list out all the reasons why you don't believe them, and then hope someone else hears. It's a passive aggressive way to play 40K.
Oh, yeah, I could try that, but John, I just like being aggressive too much.
Another repeat here, always give your, who cares if all your opponents know your army composition by heart? And then this one, let the only surprises be your deployment and your tactical moves. is the game of 40K at a place where those would actually be surprises based on your list?
It depends. I would say like it depends on a lot of different things. Like deployment may be surprising for some people. Like on your army, I mean, obviously you want to try and hide at everything if you're not bad at this game. But like your tactical moves, like which units you decide are going to try and trade with their units or whatever else, at like you know, like at that higher level, like you like picking that stuff, I think is like, or surprising someone by being like, oh, you didn't think my Terminators were going to go after your Titan, or not your Titan, but like that that Knight Castellan. Like you didn't think that they were going to shoot all four of their Cyclone missiles and hit and wound with all of them, and that you were going to fail all your saves, and he was going to blow up your Night Titan.
Yeah, thanks for those memories, bud. I really enjoyed my first games of 10th edition against you, where that exact scenario happened. Shrugoff, though, combine these two. Shrugoff, defeat, learn the lessons, and keep on practicing. Play for the fun of playing, and when you win, the excellence of your generalship will be beyond doubt. I disagree with that last one, because shitty people will always add doubt.
Whatever. No, that's not the point, John. You yourself know that you're beyond doubt. This is purely selfish.
Yeah. But I love it. We'll probably work something towards it there, because that does sound like a super fun challenge.
Super fun, yeah.
But while we were away, because I was off last week, Adepticon happened. Their servers didn't burn down, but there was the Slayer Sword and Golden Demon took place, including this Slayer Sword winning model here. Danny, you're shaking your head.
It is such a sick model. I was so happy that, like, after seeing what the winner was, and then seeing, like, I first of all love this vampire model from AOS. He's fantastic. And then to see him so well, like, painted, and like the concept is good and the execution is good. It's a phenomenal model. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. What do you think?
I think, well, it's beautiful, obviously, but what do you think of the controversy about it?
What controversy? I'm not aware of a controversy, John.
Well, supposedly there's a bit of drama brewing that this model was entered into the wrong Golden Demon category, as it contained enough 3D printed parts for it only to be eligible for the open category instead of diorama. And models that are in the open category cannot compete for the Slayer Sword. So what are your thoughts? Like, honestly, everything I see, I think I could source back to a GW kit of some kind. Unless you're talking about the armor underneath. But is this just getting kind of too picky? Or is this kind of like an appropriate complaint about this?
It's probably the tree, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that's really stupid, because like the subject piece of the model is like a very much a Games Workshop model.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that's a stupid quibble for something that's like ostensibly like definitely following all the guidelines. Do you think Games Workshop makes every single piece of a diorama and doesn't like any of these guys, like the entire diorama was like mostly Games Workshop pieces? That sounds not real.
Yeah. Is this the hobby equivalent of people saying, I would have won that game if I just remembered this one thing, or if you had failed that one thing? Just like the whataboutism to kind of take away from what is a beautiful model.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I do. I do think that's really a shame that people be like that.
Yeah. So. And then the other one it brought up in chat here, one of, I believe it was an Exodite conversion someone had there, had an AI generated background printed out, and people complained about that. I will say it's not the model or the focus. It was just a little bit of paper on the background. And again, that Exodite was beautiful. But this is kind of the first year we're seeing kind of a proliferation of these other hobby tools being used.
I also think, like, if this guy would have gotten some kind of, like, compensation for winning this prize, like, for instance, like, by using this piece of AI art,
mm-hmm.
like, well, hold on, did he generate it? I don't know. Ownership and, like, and that kind of stuff for AI-generated images and that kind of thing
giving
is, like, kind
Danny of... Danny school flashbacks.
Yeah, like... I don't know. Like, if he would have made some money on it, I could see there being like a legitimate complaint, like, oh, he should give that back, or that should go to the person who owns that image. But like, because he utilized it for the back, that's so stupid.
Yeah, and it's a tiny backdrop as well. It's like a tiny curved part of the backdrop. It wasn't. Oh. Yeah. It that one, like, I'm not a huge fan of AI art and these things, but at the same time, it wasn't the focal point of the model.
But like, okay. Isn't that a good purpose for AI art? Like, we're not talking about something that this guy is not going to go like hire an artist or buy a piece of art to use for the model for his display. He would have just like tried to paint it himself, but instead had an AI generated image that he used for his own purposes for like nothing other than like the display on this model. I think that's like probably best case scenario, like for using AI generated images, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it's kind of a tool to help support rather than like an entire new thing.
A replacement, yeah.
Right. Another model that kind of caught everyone's eye at Golden Demon was this one here. This one was modeled based off of Power Washing Simulator. And they made, and as someone who's played that game, a very accurate representation of having to clean a Dark Angel's Redemptor Dreadnought. Which is one of the things you have to clean in the game, which I felt weird about cleaning because I knew there was a guy inside there as I was just kind of jumping all over him to kind of spray off the areas. Danny, have you played Power War Simulator?
No, I haven't yet. It looks really cool, though. And I love that this person got this done so quickly.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And kind of
South Park levels of topicalness.
Right? Yeah. And was that a 3D printed water jet or was that AI art water jet? Who knows? It's a fantastic game, very relaxing to do, apart from the fact that it really makes you appreciate how detailed the Games Workshop models are. The very first level in it is a land raider. Mm-hmm. I do not want to clean those tracks ever again. That took fucking forever. That was one of the most tedious gaming experiences.
Because like the eagles and stuff, you have to spray between. Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's still really well done. I'm currently trying to do a night, but I only do it when I'm very stressed out, and school's been very chill this semester. So those were the two main ones that I saw from Golden Demon was the controversial one, and then this guy here, which can't complain. Oh, if there was an old world Power Washing Simulator, Danny, what situations and what things would you be power washing?
Well, definitely the steam tank. I think that that's a gimme. You would like wash the knight's armor off or something like that, maybe? Like, but like they would be out of the armor. I think other things that would be fun to wash would be like squigs, because they'd be like jumping around. It would be hard to wash them off, plus they'd be trying to eat you. Like a troll would probably be pretty disgusting. A giant, of course, you got to spray down the giant. He could be drunkenly sleeping, like in your wash. You're hosing him down. Full anatomical detail on that.
You got to clean the taint.
Dude, yeah, if you don't clean the grundle, that's minus 50 points. So.
Oh, man. All right, we are going to be, let me do this. This is very reasonably speeded. Yeah, that was 100% fantastic.
Could have been twice as fast.
Power Wash the Dwarf Slayers. They don't have armor. They're just the magical things.
That's pretty good. What about their war paint, though, if they wear that stuff?
Oh, they would be pissed when you sprayed that off.
Unless, like, it was just tattoos. Maybe that they've just been tattoos this whole time. Yeah. Slayers do tattoo themselves a lot.
Welcome to Around the Net. It's part of the show where we dive deep into the dark drivel of the internet. Remember, Warhammer is a community, and as a community, it is awful. First up, we have this guy here. We have a couple world leaders based ones.
I thought this was the one I was thinking it was, and it's not. Okay,
that's coming. One here, it says, "I'm continually pleased by how correct I'm proven on a daily basis at the minute. I've been made a nails pariah by many World Eaters players for my opinions, which have turned out to be true time and time again, in some cases being banned from communities for it. Let's review some of the statements over the last year that have been rejected by Wii players widely, but turned out to be true." Danny, what's your opinion of the person so far with this very controversial statement?
Jesus fucking Christ, bud. Do you need someone to pat you on the back? Like, try jacking off less in a message.
Point one, buying and spamming masses of 8-bound is a bad idea. Is that true or false?
I mean, it wasn't true when they were winning all of your games. So, I mean,
it was true when they first came out. Not so true now, but at the time, Karn the Betrayer is our best character and was only previously outshone by the broken combination of the Glaive Mo, which I'm guessing is Master of Executions, also could be a bartender in The Simpsons.
I know, yeah. Was it Flaming Mo? I don't know. I've always thought Karn was fine. Like, yeah, he's cool. He does some good stuff. Like, but that Master of Executions was much, much better.
Yeah.
I also think the Demon Prince was like a great HQ choice and like one of the better characters for just the army buffing aspect of his rules. Like, he was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the dude who flies around on the Juggernaut is amazing too. That guy, what's his name? The Lord Invocatus. That guy rules. Yeah.
The avocado. Jugger lords have a role to play in any list. I don't think anyone was disagreeing with him on that one.
The regular Corn Juggernaut Lord was pretty bad. People started using him as like weird, like little like character missiles. They'd keep him separate from units and they just run around the table and like charge stuff. But I don't know. I didn't see that coming at the start, I guess.
Yeah. Angron isn't auto-take, and we shouldn't rely on his respawn ability to perform on the tabletop. Danny, any thoughts about not relying on a single trick that can be easily countered by a wily opponent?
Yeah, weird. Like, it was a cool feature, but, like, building your entire list around that was always pretty bad. So, yeah. Like, hey, way to point out the fucking obvious, dude.
He goes on to say, I know it's galling for some so-called comp players to see a nailed bite. Filthy casual player like myself have a better understanding of the internal balance and meta of the index, and I have had to block many people for the abusive comments you've left on my post. Quick thing, the abusive comments I think are probably to do with your shitty attitude than your takes. Danny, any thoughts on that there? Or?
Dude, what is... All right, this guy's like some kind of narcissist, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe a joke. Those are the only two things I'm thinking.
It has to be a joke because it's full of the asterisk covered like actions, like, you know, wink, smiley face thing.
Except dude, I feel like he's gonna tip his fedora any minute and say like, "M'lady, I like it's coming.
I can't wait to get our codex and nails. Show you all how it's done again." Thanks to everyone who's been supportive and nice to me, though. This is my favorite part. Blood for the Blood God. Kill main. Burn.
Main. This is his main account. That's what he's trying to say with. That's a joke right there. That's got to be a joke. That's not a typo, John.
What's not a joke is this next one here, which came out this week.
No, it's still a fucking joke, dude.
World Eater player keeps shadow boxing during my movement and shooting phases. My second round, I was paired against a guy who went under an alias Get Good and refuse to say his real name as it would grant you power over me like all demons do. Deployment and pregame talk went fine. I mean, if you include that as fine, as like, my name's Get Good, can every real name know you would have power over me? At that point, I'm like, judge, let's talk about this. Then my movement phase happened. He started doing push-ups and shadow boxing while making whoosh sounds. When I asked him to stop, he just said, I don't have any movement or shooting defensive strats. Go nuts. I called the judge and he simply told them the nails are biting and sided with him. I flopped the game hard because I felt so off with him doing that, losing 53-97, where he screamed blood for the blood god at the top of his lungs and then said next challenger and walked away. How do I handle this situation better? Anyone explain why a judge would let this fly? Edit, I did not ask if he had autism, but I don't think that he warrants him doing that.
Okay, hold on. So we have the exact opposite ends of the spectrum, and I'm not talking about that spectrum, just no. As far as World Eater players go.
Yeah.
here we have the coolest person I've ever heard of playing 40K in my entire life. First of all, the name Get Good, and then just I mean, I feel like it's not real. Like, I want this to be real very badly. Oh,
it is. There is a video. I don't have it, but there's a video.
Dude, do you want to I mean, because this guy sounds rad to party with, like, and I like would probably be either horrible, like, because he's a mentally ill person or on drugs, or the best person ever to hang out with.
So this was sent to me by many people, one of them by Justin Burns, a fantastic guy we used to play with up here in Alaska. And I think I said to Burns, I was like, this isn't even the strangest behavior I've heard of happening at a 40K table. Like, and here's the thing, you got tilted by a guy doing push-ups and shadow boxing.
Yeah, why?
Why? And that poor judge who was called over, be like, judge, what rule are you getting wrong? He's doing push-ups. That just, yeah.
Well, like, okay. I mean, so this is pure cope, right? Like, this guy's like, oh, I lost this game. So I'm going to blame it.
I was
shadow boxing in my game, when it just, like, maybe he's not trying to make this guy sound like the coolest person ever, but he just does it anyway. Like, yeah. I would be laughing my ass off playing against this guy, and I'd be like, dude, go nuts. Like, this is the best show I'm going to get all day. So.
Oh, fantastic. World Eater Players, Dickie, why can't you be like this?
I know.
That's all I'm going to ask. Yeah.
Maybe this was Dickie.
It wasn't. Like I said, I'll show you the video later.
He plays only by Get Good.
It's pretty good. Next up, this wasn't an April Fool's joke. Signals from the front line. They moved away from FLG as well, which, yeah. I was shocked that they let them, to be honest. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think that they've done a lot of work, and I know Seth and Kicker have put, and Nick have put a shit ton of time in. Mm-hmm. Like managing this product and doing all this stuff. So I respect any effort that they have to make it good or make it better. Like, these guys are all extremely talented and very, very, very good. Nice to listen to. The picture, the three Seths and those facial expressions, like, I know he's driving views here, but, like, yeah. Man, it's cracking me up. It's
why, so we don't good. Get the engagement, buddy. We don't put our face in stupid ass positions on the front of it there.
God, what a shame.
Yeah. No, like I said, I'm excited to see that they have their own Discord and things now, because everyone has their own Discord. And then you can actually learn a little bit more about Seth in the latest episode of Champions of 40K, where yeah. Seth talks to Steve Joel. Which I thought was, like, the coolest thing he's done.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of Seth.
Yeah.
He's done a fantastic job and is really a great person. And you wouldn't know that by looking at him.
No. We make fun of him a lot, but he works harder than he really should. In a lot of the stuff he does, and gives 100% everything he does. So definitely go check out if you haven't subscribed to the Signals from the Frontline channel. Please do. The more people who subscribe, the less time he has around birds, and that's just better for the environment.
And you know, also, if he can show that he's making a profit on this new podcast or like this new venue that he's using, we can stop making damages payments to his career for all the jokes that we've made over the years. So we would really, really appreciate you supporting him and making sure that he gets all the support he needs.
Yeah. That way you can stop masticating birds. The best.
Okay, so they're still affiliated with FLG.
Yeah, they're still affiliated with FLG. They're just on their own channel.
So,
yeah, I will say we bagged the prime spot right there, as we are the 69th subscriber, or we were the 69th subscriber to that channel. So I saw it hit 68. I smashed subscribe quickly. Man. You would think it was an OnlyFans. What's that? I randomly went to it, and they were on 68. And like, I hit subscribe so quickly. I'm like, yes, for the joke. Thank God it was lasted long enough for me to get a screenshot of it there.
I love it.
What's coming up next? Oh, this is a fantastic one. Danny, this is a very old post that someone reposted a couple days ago. that says, like so many aspects of Warhammer 40,000, the Imperium of Man is satirical. And then it says, moreover, satire does not need to be comedic. Agree with all parts. The only reason I saw this is because someone sent me the screenshot. I have this person blocked on Twitter, which doesn't happen very often. but he says, I tell him how to actually argue his point, and his NPC programming kicks in to just repeat the same mistake. I'll give you one more chance to actually argue how it's satire before I throw you in the trash.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that definitely makes me want to engage with you, dude. Like, yeah, you being like maybe the most condescending person on earth. It always, like, this kind of like internet tough guy shit is always so funny. Like, that people just, they feel like they can just act this way and interact with people, and they would never do that in real life because they're cowards.
My favorite thing is when you meet these people in real life and they're like, oh
yeah,
no one's ever told me I'm shit to my face. They should, but they haven't.
I mean, people have definitely called me shit to my face. Yeah, but I appreciate that. Like, mostly it's in jest.
My favorite thing here, though, is the comment he says, suffice to say, linking an article by a rogue intern, which isn't supported by the company in any capacity, does not determine if 40K is satire. Danny, what ways could the company support this rogue intern rather than keeping it posted on their official community website and on several occasions reposting it?
Well, here's the problem, John, is they didn't add their biometric data to the end of the article to show their complete support of everything that this intern, this quote unquote rogue intern, has done.
Approved by Mike Brandt. What else is the rogue intern responsible for?
Oh, tons of things, like Warhammer is for everyone. Also, any article that mentions, you know, any kind of like liberal concept at all. This guy has obviously gone totally off the rails. Thinks that 40K is not just a game. Doesn't think that 40K is not just, it's not just a game. It's a way of life. If you aren't living your life to the ideals that 40K is like kind of imparted on your soul, you're probably a weak person, and you're definitely not a monarchist.
Fantastic. Well, I heard the rogue intern, his wife Fantasy, was shut down.
Oh,
he wasn't supposed to hit publish until 2045, and he accidentally hit it in like 2015.
Yeah, Rick Priestley wrote the end times like a billion years ago, like in 1983, and it's just been sitting in a vault, and this guy accidentally published it.
Yeah, they were doing Rick Priestley's performance review, and he was like, well, fuck you then, I'll just go and destroy your whole setting.
Yeah. I'll end it all.
Oh, Danny. No point in doing a Price is Right because I wasn't able to change over all the assets for that. And we're already past the hour mark, which...
Oh, sorry you guys had to listen to us drone on about stuff.
Surprised me. Yeah. Dude, I decided to take it back old school. Purely for the reason, because of the fact that the Grim After Dark is a joint venture between Danny, myself, Dickie, and Val. And it needs a majority of those people there in order to be a thing. And then Mob Rules at the end was just me and Danny thing. So I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. Because I was going to need the assets for summertime anyway.
Hype.
Yeah. Plug your stuff. When's your next Old World Charm coming?
You know, John, great question. I'm not sure if we have our Orcs and Goblins review posted yet, but we just did a review of the new Arcane Journal, Peter and I. Mm-hmm. Although Adam's been away, and when he is, the mice will play. We didn't actually record a part two to that episode yet, but it'll happen.
You socialist podcast, and then we're recording a new episode pretty soon. Giving all the content away for free.
Look, we can't just leave that money on the table, John. I don't know what your ethics are, but mine are capitalist in nature.
Daddy Adam's gonna come back with a bell and be like, what do you mean you didn't make any paywall content? And he's just gonna be like,
his berries are tingling again, John, and it's not the kind that are member.
Oh, so yeah, check out Old World Charm. Also, follow up with Val and Rob on Square Based, the other podcast to do with the Old Worlds that you should really pay attention to, and probably not the other ones. Danny, you told me every other Old World podcast is just shit.
It's true, John. I've actually said that multiple times. I'm a very firm believer in quality. And I think that just, you know, the other than those two casts, just can't be beat.
Yeah,
just cannot be beat.
No even point in me starting my own to defend the hands on the Bretonian Lord, which was going to be a 30-part, 30-minute series. But no more.
Oh, man.
Anyway, thank you, everyone, here for joining us here on a very special Grim After Dark that it was, in fact, just Mob Rules. If you have it, if you like what you heard, one, you're weird, two, check out the YouTube channel where there's a whole ton of back catalog. My other idea for this episode was just Danny and I were going to go back and watch your old videos, which is something I'm going to reuse for later on in the summer.
Man, great.
Yeah. So that's a thing coming. So don't think you've seen the last of this set. Will I improve it? Probably not. This is kind of what you're getting. We will be back next Tuesday live at 10 p.m. Eastern-ish with Dickie back in the charge, in the chair. So you'll get moving televisions and proper sound levels and appropriately speeded up bumpers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it. So from John
and Danny,
because we used to do that, right?
Yeah, we had an intro that did that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. See, tell us what we did. Go listen to the back catalog. But we will see you next. Welcome to Grim After Dark, where Warhammer 40K meets Zorn. John's the host, always down playing, but he puts in the work, never swaying. Grim After Dark, where he was intended. Adult jokes and game shows never relented. Danny's got a cunning mark, always on the fly. Val's tongue in cheek while Dickie takes a...